Hey there, and welcome to a new episode of Stock Break, your weekly opportunity to dive into public companies as we break down their business activity, fundamentals, and potential value. I'm Josh Gilbert, market analyst at eToro, and let's get into it. Please remember that this podcast is intended for educational and informational purposes only. Stay tuned for additional disclosures at the end of today's episode. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Stock Break with me, Josh Gilbert. Today, we're going to be analyzing Tesla. It's a stock loved by retail investors, and we have covered this stock before. So think of this as a part two, because a lot has changed in the last 12 months. So we're here to tell you everything that you need to know. But before we start, a reminder to subscribe to our channel and click on the little bell so you don't miss any new episodes. And as always, if there are any stocks you'd like to see, let us know in the comments. Tesla was a stock that was frequently requested, so we are listening to you. So yes, if you want a stock, please let us know. If you are listening to this in podcast format and would like to watch along with the presentation, there will be a link in the bio and you can head over to our YouTube to watch. A quick reminder that this presentation is for educational purposes only and should not be taken as investment advice, personal recommendation, or an offer of or solicitation to buy or sell any financial instruments. So on to Tesla. The big question now is it still magnificent? BYD took over the company at the start of this year, leading in global EV sales. That was because they overtook them in Q4, outselling them as the fastest manufacturer. And that is because Tesla and Elon Musk have seen a slowdown in EV sales. The stock slid by 29% in Q1 2024, making it the worst performing stock on the S&P 500 in Q1 2024. It even surpassed Boeing. And we know they had some pretty bad issues over that time. What this has done is this has put Tesla down the ranks as well, and leaving many people questioning whether it still has a place as part of that Magnificent Seven. It has been very poor and it has underperformed against those other Magnificent Six stocks. So we're going to tell you today whether it is still magnificent and what's ahead. So let's find out and get into it. Let's start with some history. We'll go back through and just give you a quick rundown on the business. Obviously, the story begins back in 2003. Martin Eberhard and Mark Tarpening founded the company. They then went searching for funds, which led them to Elon Musk in January 2004. Musk contributed $6.5 million to the initial investment round for Tesla at the time. Musk could obviously afford this thanks to his sale of PayPal 2 years earlier, which yielded him about $100 million. Musk, as we know, is still the CEO today, but as I mentioned there, he wasn't the founding father of the business. In 2010, Tesla took a big step, going public in an IPO listing on the NASDAQ. It was a historic event that positioned it as the first American automaker to list publicly since Ford in 1956, so a huge step. Then the Roadster, Tesla's first vehicle, made its debut in 2008. But then in January 2012, Roadster's production ceased. And in June of the same year, Tesla launched the Model S, which was a luxury sedan. As I mentioned, the Roadster was parked. And then in 2014, Tesla continued to innovate, introducing Tesla's Autopilot, which today is becoming very successful. Then in 2015 came the launch of the Model X, which is the SUV model. This saw a remarkable success. It had 25,000 pre-orders at the time of release. And in the same year, Tesla entered into the energy storage market. Then in 2016, Tesla introduced the Model 3. Again, another huge success, 320,000 renovations. Then we had a little bit of financial pressure for Tesla in between sort of 2016 and 2018. At the time, Musk had actually considered taking the company back private. That didn't happen. Then in 2019, the Tesla Model 3 ended 2019 as the world's best-selling plug-in electric vehicle for the second consecutive year with over 300,000 vehicles delivered. And in that same year, Tesla delivered more than a huge number of vehicles, and it had 50% growth. Then between 2019 and 2020, Tesla recorded four consecutive quarters of profitability, making it eligible for inclusion into the S&P 500. Then in 2020, Tesla was added to the index, becoming the highest value stock ever added into the index, and it instantly became the sixth largest stock in the S&P 500. Then today, 2024, in Q1, Tesla recorded its worst ever miss on delivery expectation as EV demand remained sluggish, leaving question marks over what's next. And as I say, that had led to the stock being the worst performer on the S&P 500 in Q1. So now we're going to dive a little bit deeper into some of those fundamentals to find out why Tesla is struggling in 2024. So how does it make its money? This was from the last annual report released in the first quarter of 2024. The business generates its revenue through two business segments. The first, and obviously, is the automotive segment. It accounts for 94% of overall revenue for the full year in 2023. This includes both the sale of electric vehicles, which accounts for 86%, of total revenue, but also that can come from services, vehicle servicing, its supercharger network, and the sale of vehicle parts and accessories as well. The second business model is where we see energy generation and storage. This sector deals with the production of energy storage. We have the Powerwall and the Powerpack. This is used residentially and in commercial use as well. It does represent a low percentage compared to the automotive segment, but it still plays a pretty significant role in diversifying Tesla's revenue sources. And I think it's really important to mention that this part of the business could have a bigger role to play in the future. A reminder that small revenue streams can be still very important. And a great example of that is Nvidia. If we look at their data center revenue, it only used to account for a very small percent of its revenue. In 2017, it made just $870 million, again, under 10% of its overall revenue. Then in 2024, it made $47 billion. And that was obviously thanks to AI. But as we moved closer towards renewable energy and the world transitions, we could see that energy part of the business playing a bigger role. And of course, Tesla does have a huge hand to play in the world of AI as well. So now we're going to look at some key numbers. And this is really the key number at the moment. This was Tesla deliveries. This helps us understand better as to one of the reasons why Tesla shares have struggled so far in 2024. Last year, Tesla delivered 1.8 million vehicles, and the focus was to see growth get to 50%. That was Musk's target. They didn't achieve that. Instead, they grew by 38% year over year. The goal for this year was to reach 2 million, but that number now looks slightly unachievable given that delivery number. So in Q1 2024, I mentioned at the top of this episode, they missed Wall Street estimates and missed those estimates by the biggest margin ever. They delivered 386,000 vehicles in Q1, and it was the lowest quarterly delivery number since 2022. And it actually fell 8.5% from the same period last year. For context, the market expects them to deliver just over 480,000 vehicles next quarter. So there is a huge difference there between, you know, the 386 that they delivered and the 480,000 is expected next quarter. And ultimately, that delivery miss comes at a time when Tesla could have done with some good news after a tough start to the year. It essentially was put down to disruptions at its plant in Berlin. We've seen fiercer competition in China. I mentioned BYD earlier. That is a key market for Tesla. And we've also got interest rates at decade highs that are ultimately putting Tesla's luxury vehicles out of reach for many. But the EV giant was still expecting to see growth year over year. And that number was a big disappointment for, you know, broader Wall Street. And it is the first real sign that we've started to see demand cracking in EV. We've been sort of talking about it for a long time and it held up pretty well. But these are sort of the first signs, really. And that is why Wall Street is worried. But to put it in context slightly, there is weakness across the EV industry more broadly, and it also affected BYD, who also saw a big drop in EVs in Q1, and they actually delivered less than Tesla in the quarter, which actually handed back the crown to Tesla of the top-selling EV manufacturer. So a small bright spot amidst a lot of negativity. Look, EVs aren't cheap, and I think that alongside the lack of charging infrastructure in most places is making it difficult to draw consumers to the product for now. EV sales rose from a year ago, so we are still seeing growth in the first quarter, but essentially we are seeing growth slow down, which is ultimately the sort of the worry for most of Wall Street right now. So, we'll dive into some important numbers. We're going to look at margins here. And this is another reason why shares have come under pressure just recently. In the automotive sector, gross margins were 17% in Q4 2023. And that represents an improvement from the 16% in the third quarter, but it is lower than the 24% from a year ago. This marks the first rebound after four declining quarters in a row. And I think this then sets up the next earnings report being crucial. If we see another drop lower again, shares will see no respite, and ultimately we, be put under pressure again. On the other side of that, an improvement in margins could be a big win at a very crucial time for the business. However, important to note, if plants are running at below capacity due to weaker demand, there could be room for volatility in these margins. A big standout in these numbers as well is the big drop that we saw in 2023 compared to the numbers that we had in 2020, 2021, and 2022. Some may say that this is seeing Tesla's margins normalize, but ultimately the market had priced shares at their current levels and expected those margins to stay at those levels. So that's why we're seeing some weakness in the share price, given that margins have declined. It is still important to remember that they are higher than the broader automotive sector. Its 18% margin is far higher than that of Ford's 10% as well. A reason for a decline in margins as well is that we did see broad-based price cuts. This was Musk's strategy to sort of try and hit competitors who are already sort of losing out, essentially. It's a tough EV market. So by cutting prices, Musk was looking to essentially try and cut the legs off of competitors who were already struggling. They have the cash to be able to ultimately drive forward and keep price cuts. They're much bigger. They're much fundamentally stronger than these other businesses. And he was trying to take some of the competition out. However, it actually wasn't good news for Tesla. The value of the Tesla took a hit. And that can sometimes be a bit of a risk to consumer confidence. It sort of can sometimes devalue the brand at the same time. And Musk wanted to focus on volume over profitability, and that has now driven down margins. So what's really important is that when he was focusing on volumes instead of profitability, we wanted to see numbers rise. But in Q1, those volume numbers fell. So essentially, we're seeing margins decline and we're now seeing volumes decline. So unfortunately, Musk now has two issues that he has to deal with. A quick reminder that if you are listening on podcast, head over to YouTube, have a look at the presentation. And while you're there, let me know what you think about Tesla. Do you think this is the end of it being magnificent, or is this just a small bump in the road? So now we're going to have a look at Tesla's earnings, a key area of the business, a key area of any business, and that is, of course, earnings. I mentioned a moment ago about Musk driving volumes, and as I mentioned, that is now affecting profitability because of those price cuts. Earnings have been declining over recent quarters. And when it reported Q4 earnings early in 2024, earnings declined by 40% year over year, leading to full year earnings falling by 23%, which is a pretty large number for a big business like Tesla, especially when we think about, broadly amongst the Magnificent Seven. If we think about Nvidia and those other names that are seeing huge earnings growth right now. Tesla is pursuing a strategy to maximize profitability, especially when we're sort of seeing subdued demand. But essentially, what we're sort of really seeing is that, the sort of the utilization of the vehicles, the penetration of EVs is weaker and it is below demand. And when we've got heightened competition in China as well, the road to get back to earnings growth again isn't going to be an easy one in the short term. And really what we're looking for is strong execution over the next 12 to 18 months. That's going to be really crucial for Tesla to sort of navigate what we likely believe is a temporary dip in EV demand. I think it's hard to deny the growth trajectory of EV into the future. The market does expect earnings to bounce back again in Q3. They do expect to see growth, but a wider than expected miss on earnings coming up in sort of Q1 and Q2 of this year could mean more bad news for shareholders. On that note, though, it's important to just sort of talk about the large cost-cutting initiatives that Musk is currently planning. So this is very recent news that Tesla is reportedly cutting more than 10% of its global staff. And essentially, that is because of the softening demand that we're seeing and ultimately the environment that we're in at the moment. That 10% of staff does include two key executives as well. That is Drew Baglino and Rohan Patel, who have been instrumental in the business for many years. And what's important is that Tesla is now being proactive about cost cutting. And that comes after what was a pretty poor Q1 delivery number. But it is coming at a time when I think they maybe need it. And when we've seen cost cutting from other companies in previous times, such as Meta, for example, Wall Street has applauded it. We haven't quite seen that from Tesla yet. Wall Street hasn't sort of met it in the same way. I think for now, Wall Street is seeing the cost cut more as a bit of a worry. It shows that ultimately that they are worried about EV demand. So I think for now, it's a worry for Wall Street, but that may turn into a positive down the line. What's going to be really important is the Q1 conference call. When we actually get that, that's going to be at the end of April. We've had a string of bad news over the last few months, and it ultimately has been a bit of a horror show for investors. And investors will want to hear the rationale for the cost cutting, what's going to be happening moving forward, the roadmap, and ultimately a vision from Elon Musk as well. Because if not, I think investors may start to lose a little bit of faith, especially during what is a pretty difficult time. So I want to have a quick look here and just sort of maybe zoom out and look at EV sales worldwide to give you a view of, is this just a Tesla problem? EV sales are still rising, but growth is slowing. According to Bloomberg Research, sales of EV plus plug-ins are more than doubled in 2021 and grew 62% in 2022. But in 2023, that figure was 31% last year, when 15% of all vehicles sold were plug-ins. That is also expected to slow down again this year to 24%. So a big difference. We saw, double in 2021, 24% in 2024. We looked to China. The government over years has used very generous incentives to expand, its industry and make EVs affordable. It accounts for 59% of plug-in sales in 2023. So a huge, huge market. And a lot of car makers are signaling that China's economy is one of the reasons for them, not selling more vehicles. It is struggling there, and ultimately the country is no longer, a sort of a banker for, more sales, which it has been in the few years. So I think the greater issue is an EV issue, maybe not specific to Tesla. We are also seeing it in Europe and the US as well. And really, a lot of it comes down to government subsidies as well. We're seeing a lot of subsidies ending. We need that to sort of come back through. What we're ultimately seeing is I think for the next phase of Tesla, we're sort of seeing more cost-conscious drivers. We've maybe seen the drivers that are willing to buy the luxury vehicles, but we're also seeing, especially in Europe and the US, you are getting those, cost-conscious consumers who, maybe actually a little bit skeptical of the technology and would just focus on cheaper cars, fuel burning cars, for example, which are, far, far cheaper. If we look at EVs, in Europe, they're about 30% more expensive, than fuel powered cars. So a big, big difference. On top of, what has been obviously a slowing, obviously EV sales environment, obviously we've got high interest rates. I mentioned it earlier, but that's making borrowing costs a lot higher, and it's making the cost of a vehicle higher as well. So if you're borrowing money to buy an expensive electric vehicle, it's going to cost you more money. And there is also worries around, charging infrastructure, the battery range. Of course, we're getting better at improving these batteries, but again, for the time being, people may hold off on that purchase until the technology improves. So I don't think that this is a Tesla-specific problem. It is an industry that is struggling. This is reflected, I think, across broader EV manufacturers. XPeng, NIO, Rivian, all their shares are down more than 50% this year, worse than Tesla. That is probably to be expected given their size. But again, not just a Tesla problem. This is broad-based. Now we're going to have a quick look a simple SWOT analysis, some strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. So we'll start with strengths. Tesla is obviously at the forefront of innovation in the automotive sector, especially when it comes to EVs and energy. That will, keep it at the forefront of the industry for a long time to come. They've got a prominent reputation in the production of high performance and quality EVs. Their vehicles are quality. I don't think that can be questioned, and people know that. Its supercharger network is ultimately significant and is a huge competitor advantage. It offers rapid charging infrastructure that is, very attractive for buying its vehicles, especially in the US market. And it does dominate in the US. We mentioned about competition in China, but for now, Tesla is dominant in the US. A look at some weaknesses. Tesla, as I mentioned earlier, is very dependent on government tax credits and incentives for EVs, which is proving to be a big weakness right now as we do see these tail off. The company is also starting to experience some issues with large-scale production. We're seeing delivery delays, and we have maybe seen some quality issues come into question. But I think this is more so just on a constant production basis. When you're sort of really at a vast mass production, it becomes pretty difficult. I've also added that they don't have a mass consumer-friendly model, which I see as a big weakness. I think a more affordable vehicle is a key element missing, and one that other EV manufacturers are bringing to market, but also traditional manufacturers are as well. Regarding opportunities, there's ample room here for Tesla to expand into international markets, especially considering the increasing demand for EVs, and interest in obviously sustainable energy as well. I've added the supercharger network as a strength as well, because as an opportunity as well as a strength, because I think it can be a huge opportunity. It's already done strategic deals with the likes of Ford. And if they can keep growing that supercharger network, then I think we're essentially going to see a lot of opportunity for Tesla in the future. And I also think that the energy and solar side of the business is really important. I mentioned it earlier, but I think the push to renewable energy sources is going to continue over the years ahead and could serve as a big opportunity in the future. Finally, threats. Competition in the EV sector is huge. There are numerous automakers entering the market: Volkswagen, GM, Ford, etc. And we've also got those specific EV names: your Rivians, your BYDs, your NIOs, etc. Regulatory or political changes are a big threat, especially for the EV industry. If we have changes to those government subsidies or emissions regulations, that's really important. And a reminder on that, that this is actually the biggest election year ever. And if we get a change in leaders, especially in the US, and if we see policy changes when it comes to EVs, that could happen. That could have a big effect on Tesla moving forward. And finally, this might surprise a few people, but I've added Elon Musk as a threat. He has built the business to where it is today. There is absolutely no doubt about that. But in my view, he does remain a threat to the business. He remains a threat to shares. He has one eye on X as a social platform, and he's very outspoken on the platform as well, which as a leader of the business can sometimes be negative, you know, for the overall brand of the business. So I'm going to put him there as a threat because I think over the last 12 months, he has turned into more of a threat than an opportunity for the business. If you'd have asked me that 18 months ago, I would have said he's 100% an opportunity. But I'm sorry, Elon, you are a threat for now. So now I'm going to have a look at the challenges, some catalysts, and what's next for the business. When we think about tech stocks in their history, I think when we look back, there's always big moments. There's always big moments that have caused some of these best performing companies in the world a really difficult time on Wall Street. And Tesla is in that right now. Think back to Microsoft 2014, the skepticism around Satya Nadella being picked as CEO. Netflix in 2011 going all in on streaming and moving away from DVDs. Apple when Steve Jobs left for the second time. And also think back to way back when Facebook paid too much for Instagram. I think it was $1 billion at the time, but that has gone on to be one of the best acquisitions in the history of tech in my eyes. And for Tesla, that may be one of those moments now where we look back on, in many years and say, you know, what happened and how they turned the business around was really important, but it was just a bump in the road of its long-term growth. So firstly, opportunity. Look, I think there's a huge opportunity here for Tesla to come in with a share buyback. They've got $30 billion of cash on hand. I think they need to show some confidence. They've got to walk the walk. They've got to show to investors that they believe in this business as much as they are saying. I think this is a really important time, and I think it would give a lot of confidence to investors that are maybe a little bit worried about what's ahead. So keep an eye out for that in the Q1 result or throughout the year. But I think that would be really important at some point through the year. A challenge, I think we've got to see Musk dial back the price cuts. I think he needs to maintain margin leverage over the auto players. What he did in sort of with the price cuts hasn't necessarily paid off. I think he made it slightly complex. He went to war, and it hasn't necessarily worked. So I think we've got to go back to improving margins and essentially go back to old school, focus on what Tesla has done well in its history. Another catalyst, hittable production targets and delivery timelines for the Model 2, which is the $30,000 vehicle or sub $30,000 vehicle, which is expected in 2025. I think giving clear production targets is really, really important across the Cybertruck, how many vehicles they expect to deliver, but also when we can expect that cheaper model. I think Wall Street is craving that now. And I think it's going to be really key that Musk gets that across to investors as much as possible. Another challenge, Musk continues to focus on X. And I think this continues to be a bit of a weight on the Tesla stock. His focus is away from Tesla. I think anyone you ask will agree with that. And as long as he's still there and he's still in charge and, you know, he's still very busy, we may have the potential for more stock sales if he wants to put some more cash into the business. And we saw that when he bought X, you know, back a few years ago, and that put the stock under a lot of pressure at the time as well. So I think we need Tesla to dial back in. Sorry, we need Musk to dial back into Tesla and take one step away from X, in my view. Another catalyst, Tesla has plenty of opportunity in AI through Dojo, Optimus, and full self-driving. Elon Musk and his team need to give investors a better understanding of their goals for AI, give long-term goals, but also just give us something. You know, Tesla could be huge in AI, and I think Wall Street just wants to know what they're doing. And we've seen how that can affect companies. Apple kept their AI cards close to their chest, whereas you see the likes of Microsoft, they're absolutely getting the love from Wall Street at the moment because they're sort of putting their AI cards on the table. So I think this is the time when Elon Musk can sort of let those cards out, tell us what he's thinking when it comes to AI, because let's not remember, he's a pioneer when it comes to AI. He has been there through ChatGPT, OpenAI. He's been at the forefront of this all. So if there's one man that can deliver AI, it's certainly Musk. And finally, another challenge, of course, we've got the growing competition. That sort of goes without saying. I've mentioned this a few times throughout. BYD in China is going to continue to be a huge competitor moving forward. We're feeling it really in China. Obviously, Tesla lowered their vehicles there to compete with BYD. But I think that trying to gain a foothold back in the Chinese market is going to be imperative for long-term growth. And also, you know, making sure that they don't lose ground in places like the Nordics, which are set to sort of be a huge market for EVs, you know, one of the first to sort of fully transition to electric vehicles. So just a quick look to its valuation. Guru Focus says that the stock is potentially representing a bit of a value trap, and that is because we've seen a pretty significant sell-off over that time, but it might not be the right time to enter if these problems persist. What we may need to see is a bit of a turning of the tides. We may need to see Musk come out and deliver a stellar Q1 earnings, which may sort of put us back on a stronger trajectory and give us clearer guidance of what's next. And shares are trading at 61 times forward earnings, which means that there is, you know, still big things expected, and it isn't cheap. And that is because earnings growth has slowed dramatically over the months just recently. A look to Wall Street, what analysts do like it, but they aren't completely convinced. The average consensus is a hold, and that has come down from a strong buy, but the price target sits at about $190, showing about 17% upside from current levels. On the other side of that, we do have some big Tesla bulls like Dan Ives. He holds about a $300 price target, which is almost about 100% upside from current levels. So let's wrap us up. A bit of a summary. A terrible start to the year. Shares are down by more than 35%. We look to its Q1 earnings call, which is coming on the 26th of April, 2024, as a pivotal moment for what is next. It feels like a huge moment coming up for Tesla and for Elon Musk to essentially turn this around and sort of reverse what has been a really tough start to the year. And if they can't, we might see some tough days ahead for Tesla and ultimately maybe derail that long-term narrative that is for, you know, Tesla to continue growing as EV continues to grow. I mentioned it earlier, but Musk still remains key to the business. I did say he in himself is a threat, but I think now he needs to show us what he's all about. He needs to come to the party. I asked for this from Mark Zuckerberg when Meta had a really, really tough time. We needed Big Zuck to step up, and he did exactly that. And we need some Musk magic more than ever right now. Earnings and margins have been declining, but they did show some promise in Q4 2023. After the delivery miss, though, there's going to be question marks around continued earnings growth. Not delivering as many vehicles as expected should put earnings under pressure. But if we can see stable earnings, if we can see improvement in margins, there should be some positivity. But after all of that, analysts have shifted their view to a hold consensus. Yes, it does have some upside from current levels, though, however. And that is it for Tesla. Thank you, everyone, for listening and for watching. If you found this episode useful, don't forget to like, share, and of course, send it to a friend who's maybe a Tesla fan. Let me know if you think Tesla's pain will continue, or if you think Magic Musk can help turn the ship around. And oh my, don't we just need it. Thank you everyone for listening. And a reminder to let us know if there's a stock you're interested in and we'll break it down. See you all next time.
You have been listening to Digest and Invest by eToro. For more information, use eToro.com. This podcast is for information and education purposes only and should not be taken as investment advice, a personal recommendation, or an offer of or solicitation to buy or sell any financial instruments. This material has been prepared without taking into account any particular recipient's investment objectives or financial situation and has not been prepared in accordance with the legal and regulatory requirements to promote independent research. Past performance is not an indication of future results.